My name's Sean Collier here at AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22, West Homestead, Pennsylvania. Aaron Cliver's right there.
Hiya, full address.
Yeah.
You almost gave the zip code.
I want people to be able to find us. Just saying, if you're ever at the waterfront, go look at the champagne room.
Yeah.
Maybe we're doing a podcast. Yeah. Where you drop by.
Go check into it. Tuesday or Wednesday nights normally.
Usually.
We're at Homestead Lowe's. You know, it's really far away, Sean.
The Great Wall of China is really far away.
Did you see how I did that?
Yeah.
I'm getting good at that now.
Yeah, you're learning. You're doing all kinds of podcasts, including this one. It's called You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, February 17th.
Bingo.
2017. We just watched The Great Wall. That was dumb. Okay.
I mean, you know.
That's dumb.
That was that's the kind of movie that I would enjoy by myself on a Saturday afternoon in Tucson.
I think.
Just be like, I can go take a nap.
You know, it's so infrequent that I go to a new movie because I want to anymore. Right. I might, if I didn't have to review this, if I had just bought a ticket a week from now, I might have walked out. Just out of boredom. Like when I really, really hate something, I'll stick around to the end just so I can hate it better. But if I'm like bored out of my mind, then I think about leaving.
Yeah. You thought it was that boring?
I was really, really bored. There's some action sequences that are clever. They're really brought down by the fact that it's a movie about people fighting monsters from House of the Dead Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, you know, I could have swore in the previews there was wings like dragons.
I mean...
I didn't know they were
going
to be...
Yeah, I thought it was dragons.
I didn't
know... But then why do you need a wall if they're dragons?
Right.
You can just fly over it.
I don't know what they were going to do with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were like a raptor and a hyena had a baby.
And they looked awful.
They were kind of dumb.
It was like, you know... You ever go back and watch like a CGI heavy from the early 2000s, like a Lord of the Rings or one of the first Harry Potters, it's like this looked good then.
Yeah,
like,
but
I felt that way about the creatures.
I mean, it's not like the CGI was bad.
I would say it was bad.
It was not bad. It was just they were ridiculous looking. They were big dogs with lizard skin and mazes on the top of their heads.
Yeah, they had the maze from Westworld embedded in their faces.
They did have the Westworld maze on their forehead. Wait a second.
No, it all ties in. No,
it doesn't.
No. Okay.
Oh, this is spoilery.
We said what they looked like. That's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
If you don't know that there are monsters in this movie, I mean, it's not the Mongols. This is not about the Mongols.
That might have been better.
That would have been better.
They were fighting like Attila the Hun.
Oh yeah, dude! Like
would have been way better.
Like an actual military movie.
That would have been cool. I was just telling Sean that's the best part about this movie is just the ancient military.
Yes.
Like ancient militaries are fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when there is royalty. Like it's like an empire because their like armor was so decorative and I could imagine that I would guess that a lot of the stuff that they were wearing was pretty accurate.
I'm sure it was.
I mean,
the way buildings looked.
Yeah,
I'm sure a lot of that was very accurate. So back up. There's this movie. It's called The Great Wall.
We didn't even get into the best part.
What's that?
It's starring.
Oh yeah.
Matt Damon.
And that's a thing.
Jason Bourne. It was a thing.
That's a conversation. So
a lot of people when the trailer came out.
Whitewashing isn't the word because he's not playing an Asian character.
Right.
He is one of a group of European mercenaries who winds up in this situation. The criticism you can make if you feel like it is that it's a white savior movie, like Last Samurai with Tom Cruise,
right?
Where it's like, well, the white guy comes and saves everything.
Pretty sure that was based on a true story.
Well, that doesn't mean you need to make the movie.
Okay,
that's the thing. Like a lot of people, like that's the what's that? That's like The Blind Side. People are like, well, but it's true story. It's like, yeah, that doesn't mean you should tell it because it doesn't read like,
dude,
you know, oh, these great. No,
I think that's one of the worst ones.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, in terms of,
I remember seeing it and just loathing it.
Oh, I hated it so much.
Matter of fact, I don't remember finishing it. And then it was randomly on TV in my hotel the other week or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be on for like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, ew.
Yeah.
This is like I hated Sandra Bullock.
And she won Best Actress for that.
That is horrendous.
That is ridiculous. It was, you know, that's...
Was that?
It's not that long ago.
5 years ago.
I want to say it was '08, '09, like that. Yeah, that's one where in real life.
No, you're right, 09.
In real life, these are good people. They took care of a kid. That kid turned out to be a pro football player. When you make that into a movie, it looks like athletically gifted young black man, all you need is to be introduced to the world of whiteness, and then you can succeed. Like,
yeah.
So the solution there is, yeah, don't make that a movie. I felt the same way about, you ever see The Impossible with Naomi Watts?
Yes.
Where it's like, yeah, hundreds of thousands of people died. I don't care about the family from England on vacation that they got back together.
Yeah.
Good for them. Everyone else is dead. Just don't make the movie. And that's the way I felt about The Last Samurai. Maybe it's a true story. Don't make the movie. Here in The Great Wall, that's the movie we're talking about.
I just looked up the 2009 Oscars. It was a garbage year.
Who did she beat?
Oh my gosh, 2009 was a garbage year. It must have been 2010.
I believe she won the Razzie for Best Actress and the Oscar for Best Actress the same year for different films, though.
Oh,
the Razzie was all about Steve. The Razzie was for All About Steve.
I think that was with
Bradley Cooper, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then the next night, and she showed up to accept her Razzie, which, you know, credit where credit's due for that.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Well, she actually beat out Helen Mirren for Last Station, Carey Mulligan for An Education, Gabourey Sidibe from Precious, which,
And who's the fifth?
Meryl Streep, Julia, and Julia.
Man, I didn't see three of those movies.
Man, Gabourey.
Maybe I saw
probably should have won that one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because Monique won it, and they were like, there, we
even
gave
worse.
One.
Yeah, Monique won for Precious, but and she was great. She was. Wow, jeez.
Anyway,
yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. 2009 was a garbage year.
It was.
I mixed that up.
Year.
Go look up 2009. Garbage.
I don't. If you see the movie, this is not the one to direct your rage at.
No, I don't think so. And I said to you too. I thought that it painted like the. It was pretty neat. It was cool cultural kind of look at like a Chinese military. It's pretty neat.
Now I the director isn't going to say anything bad. However,
right.
I think this is right. The director is Zhang Yimou. I'm pronouncing that wrong. That's as close as I'm going to get.
Yimou Zhang.
He said,
"That's about right."
In many ways, The Great Wall is the opposite of what is being suggested. For the first time, a film deeply rooted in Chinese culture, with one of the largest Chinese casts ever assembled, is being made at tentpole scale for a world audience. I believe that it is a trend that should be embraced by our industry.
Coming from a guy who is rich Chinese cinema.
Yes.
Like, he is embedded into Chinese
Hero,
cinema.
House of Flying Daggers.
Yeah, I mean, he's legit.
Did the Japanese film raise the Red Lantern? It's now, you say, why? Okay, so why does Matt Damon have to be in it? They wanted to make a lot of money in China, and Matt Damon is huge in China, mainly because of the Bourne movies.
Oh, really?
So, I think The Great Wall is more for China than for the U.S.
Hmm.
It's been out in China for 2 months. Has already made close to $200 million U.S.
Wow.
In China. we're kind of the afterthought on this one. I think they thought if we get
that's interesting
this director with this subject matter
and someone bring who China
in,
loves
bring in a giant American star,
right?
We're going to make a ton of money, and it looks like they're doing it.
So it's like if we brought in, like when we were bringing Jackie Chan into American movies.
Yeah.
Because like, I think it was funny, like by the time Jackie Chan was doing movies in America, he was making nothing. Meanwhile, he could go do a movie in China for like 10 times the money.
Yeah.
But he wanted to break into American cinema. Yeah.
I will read this. I'm reading from Wikipedia. Check these sources.
alternate facts. It's fine.
Yeah, but if you remind people, hey, make sure this is true. I'm not making any promises. We're right. already doing better than
Good
the
cover.
President. the film's largest investor, Wanda Group, which now owns Legendary.
Yeah.
Legendary was sold to a Chinese-based company called Wanda Group, has good relationships with the Chinese government and the Communist Party. In December of 2016, users of the film review website Duban rated The Great Wall 5.4 out of 10, which is considered very low. On December 28th, the Communist Party's official media outlet, People's Daily, published an article on its website severely criticizing Duban and Moyan for doing harm to the Chinese movie industry with their bad reviews. On the same day, Moyan took down its professional score for The Great Wall. So
that sounds like that sounds like what our government's trying to do
yeah.
to the media.
Yeah, we're going that in that direction.
That doesn't sound very far-fetched to
no,
us.
No, no.
Nowadays in our country.
Yeah. So if there's a controversy with The Great Wall, that's it, really. That's much more accurate than why is Matt Damon in it? And look, again, we could talk about Ghost in the Shell in a couple weeks. Whitewashing is a very real problem, and it is bad.
Oh, my God.
In a lot of cases, these are not the droids you're looking for if you want to get pissed about it. There's going to be 12 other things to get pissed about this year. I'm here to tell you that this probably isn't the one to focus your
problem
rage on.
Solved.
Yeah.
We talked it out.
Yeah.
For you guys.
But the movie's no good.
I mean, look, if there's nothing to see and you want to go have some beers with some friends and go and see this goofy action movie, whatever, just pay matinee prices, you know?
Yeah,
I have fun at action movies, and I was like, whatever, cool.
You have a better time at a dumb action movie than I do.
Yeah,
we all have, you know, but for both of us, horror is a sweet spot.
Yeah. This was, you know, it was fine.
What the hell was Matt Damon's accent? He was like
he
was half Braveheart and half Bill Hader's Firewater in Sausage Party.
Yeah,
Native American wise man.
A little bit of it definitely sounded, especially the first time, he's like, so we go to the river.
Yeah.
And then we build our home.
It was Tonto.
I'm like, what? Yeah, I know. It was really like Totonka.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little odd. But then I was thinking,
where was he supposed to be from? He was like a mercenary drifter.
My guess, it was very Nordic, very like Viking. Or maybe Germanic.
And when is this set?
I don't know.
You know, in the olden days.
So
this is like when we were trying to guess when Seven Samurai was set, and we missed it by 400 years.
Something interesting where I've listened to a couple things about the Great Wall, but this is in the trivia. It says that the Great Wall took 1,700 years to build, and actually it only took 10 to 20 years.
Oh, there's no way it took 10 to 20 years. Where are you looking?
My bad.
Yeah.
Never mind. Each a new wall section built by any single ruler would take approximately 10 to 20 years. So 10 to 20 years per section.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it was under... The movie is set during the reign of the Renzong Emperor, which was the year 1010 to 1063.
Wow, almost close to the Norman invasion.
So we're going back. A lot of this is about, you know, the Westerners are there to try and steal gunpowder because
well,
the Chinese are the only ones that have it.
They're seeking out gunpowder, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting to see. It is cool to see a film set in this time period that isn't about King Arthur. you know, that isn't Keira Knightley in a corset of some sort.
I've generally liked a lot of these ancient, like, Chinese films. Okay. Like, I like that history of, you know, Crouching Tiger and House of Flying Daggers. Like, that kind of ancient Chinese warrior thing, I think it's pretty rad.
It's
a neat thing.
It is interesting.
Like, Crouching Tiger was really awesome.
It is interesting, you know, anytime you have a country that has thousands of years of history.
Yeah.
In that way. Because we're from America, which is a baby country.
Which is like 45 years old or something.
Yeah. Which is awkwardly going through puberty right now.
I know. It's funny that I just read something like, oh, this country did this 700 years ago. I was like, damn.
Right. Right. How old is China? I just want to learn about that.
Oh, God.
That's how I that's how I left this is I walked out of there going, I want to know more about China.
Well, I think, I mean, Genghis Khan, didn't China fight Genghis Khan?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And because, well, he was from Mongolia, which is pretty much China.
2070 BCE.
Wow.
2,000 years before Christ.
Holy crap.
No wonder why. So that's an old country.
They've got so many people. They've been making babies for so long.
Yeah. They had 4,000 years to make progress on that. Also, big. China, pretty big.
Huge.
Big country.
Big country.
Yeah. These have been basic facts about China.
Mm-hmm. Next week we're gonna do facts about Denmark.
Do you ever feel just terrible about your own knowledge of history when America is old, America is not even 250 years old and there's basic stuff. I was just at the Alamo. I was at the Alamo 3 weeks
That's
ago.
That's so cool. I wish I could have went there.
And my main question on going there was, yeah, what's the Alamo? Though, like, this is basic U.S. history, and we're like,
it's interesting.
I don't know.
There's actually some controversy because it wasn't a nice thing for Mexicans.
No, it definitely was not.
No,
yeah.
And if you look at like how we took Texas, and the Southwest,
not good.
Like when we shot cannons over the Rio Grande and the villages and just burned them to the ground, women and children and. Yeah.
Do you know what? You know, I went to the border.
Yeah.
I didn't cross because apparently crossing into Mexico at Laredo alone for no clear reason is a really terrible idea.
Yeah, big red flag. Too.
Yeah. But I like walked up to it and was like, oh, there's Mexico over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I learned.
That's
I was
interesting.
Like, yeah, yeah, it's just over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of terrible history about how we took a lot of land from Mexico. It's not pretty.
But my tour guide was adorable.
Oh, yeah?
She was like a 75-year-old woman named Sheila Skipper.
Sheila Skipper?
Yeah.
It's like a cartoon character.
I know. It was great.
Yeah. Wow.
Actually, I'll go on record. Alamo, kind of boring. Not an absolute. I've been to some places. I've taken some tours.
Did you ask where the basement was?
Not only did I not ask where the basement was, there was no Pee Wee merchandise in the gift shop, which is just like, what are you doing? Massive gift shop, everything you can imagine. No Pee Wee. What are you doing? That turned me on it. It's not, you know, you don't have to pay for the whole tour. Walk up, go on and see. That's the Alamo. Get a selfie. Get out of there.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
not,
do that stuff.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know much about Chinese history, though.
I don't know much about Chinese history either.
I mean, I'm just now digging into a lot of American history, so I understand how our country works. And but that is pretty fascinating because I listen to a lot of history podcasts and I read a lot of history, audiobooks.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Might get into Chinese history.
That part of this movie is interesting. It looks good when there's not a monster on the screen.
Yeah.
Some of the action is cool. There's some great shots.
Yeah, some of the big army stuff, I was like, whoa. There's some cool stuff happening.
But yeah, absolutely don't need to see it. And odds are good. Whatever theater you're walking into, there's two or three things there that you haven't seen that are better.
That's absolutely true. Should they go see John Wick 2 instead of this action movie?
Yes, John Wick 2 was better.
All right.
And I don't even like John Wick 2. I don't even like the series.
I like it.
But
I'm going to see it this weekend.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like I'm missing something with these. And it wasn't. I talked to you about this. I was worried that I would be too sad about the dog to the film. That wasn't it. I just didn't care. Like, the action is great.
Yeah.
The
choreography.
The choreography is unbelievable, and it's so. I'm so happy that it's. You know, they shoot it from across the room and hold the camera still, and you can see everything that happens.
You're learning something from me, Sean. Yeah. You're learning something.
No, that was great.
Absolutely, dude. That's why I kind of really like it, because it throws back to some of the old action movies, a lot of them are Chinese action films. And, dude, when you're able to see the choreography and the martial arts happening on camera, like... I mean, it's pretty fascinating.
But both of them, that's not happening, I was just bored.
It's okay, buddy.
It was one Grand Theft Auto mission. You know, I mean,
cool.
I don't. I feel like
that sounds cool.
Yeah. I mean, you've raved about it. Who was I talking? Oh, Robin. Oh. Robin Hitchcock, who's going to be on next week, is like, oh, it's so good. I love it. I'm absolutely obsessed
Doug
with it.
Doug Benson's favorite movie on the planet.
I know.
Doug Benson is obsessed with
John
Wick.
And I finally sat down and watched the original, and was like, meh. And I think the second one's a little better.
I can't wait.
I'm excited. You go see it. Report back when you do.
All right.
There's another movie I'm going to review, and that's going to come after the break. Look, that was a normal tease.
That was good.
So we'll be back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast, but...
Craft Fuel Beer Potter. Craft Beer Fuel Pot. Motherfucker. All right. Man, I'm going to have to write that down.
Craft Fuel Beer Podcast.
Yeah, Craft Fuel...
Craft Beer Fuel Podcast. Okay. Craft Brew Fuel. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy. Those are not four words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast. All right, so Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast on.
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/partnerspod. You can find us at partnerspod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew. Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
And we're back.
Boom. Welcome to Grown Dad Business. This is Aaron Cliver.
Did we switch? Is it Grown Dad Business
we're switching now?
I'm going to talk about my complete lack of responsibility. I don't even have dogs anymore. Well, I don't have kids. I got nothing.
Check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business, with my friend Jason Clark. We talk about dad stuff.
Yeah.
Parenting things and just life things.
You heard, if you're listening to this show, you heard a full episode taste of Grown Dad Business a couple weeks ago.
Sean was at the Alamo.
Yeah.
Just do the Movie Dad episode.
Who did... I listened. Was I wrong, or did Clark Griswold not come up in your conversation?
No, absolutely he did.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
Was he on the bests?
Oh, he was definitely on the bests.
Okay.
Yeah.
I must have just zoned out. I was vacuuming or something.
I think he was my number one movie dad.
Was he?
Pretty sure.
Oh, all right.
But you're going to have to listen. Right, we do the top five worst movie dads, and just take a listen. Because I had to plead my case pretty hard for my number one. And it was funny, the next day, Jason Clark was like, dude, he goes, I was thinking about everything you were saying about your number one. And he was like, God damn it, you're right. And I was like, thank you. So you're going to have to listen to it. Don't spoil it.
You made a very good case.
Pretty good case.
That's your number one worst.
Number one worst.
You made a good argument. It's tough. It's tough to... It's tough. Come up with anything.
One person.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. That's Grown Dad Business. Where are you going to be?
When is it?
This is the 17th.
Oh, wow.
The 17th of February.
Well, tonight I'm in Reading, Pennsylvania at the Abe Lincoln Theater. And tomorrow I am at the Star City Theater in Roanoke, Virginia. I was really hoping there'd be some things... from American Horror Story there, but I think they filmed it in California.
Okay, then.
I think.
All right.
But no, you know, I'll be around. But I'm, you know, I'm doing some shows that you guys can't go to.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I got
sorry.
I got a couple of those coming up myself.
But I'm definitely in March. I'll be hitting Dayton, Ohio. I'll be in Erie again. I'll be in Albany, and then I'll be in Harrisburg and Wichita in April. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm coming back to Tulsa. Yeah, I got a lot of cities I'm coming to.
Let me mainly. The thing I want to plug is not mine. I want to plug Mary Beth's show. I want to plug my girlfriend Mary Beth. Oh. She is in a band called Lorenzo's Oil. It is Pittsburgh's only bass novelty song duo. Two of them.
Lorenzo's Oil.
They both play bass. Both play the electric bass, and they do. It's a comedy. It's a comedy act, and they do long. Their kind of signature song is a medley of Back to the Future parodies, just one after the other. For like 8-9 minutes, and it's great. And they are having their CD release show tomorrow night. That's the 18th at Howlers in Bloomfield. So go check them out, and then buy the album. It's an EP, Lorenzo's Oil. And I'll plug this too because I don't know if you're aware, Aaron.
What?
But the last 4 months of my life have been dominated by Harry Potter. This
really?
Happened. I'm 32 now. It was my birthday yesterday. But at the age of
Is your birthday yesterday?
As we're recording this, yeah.
Oh.
What?
It was yesterday?
My birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I should know this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I could
We've been
not
co-hosting a show.
I don't think I could
for
get
almost,
I
over
don't
two
think
years.
I have any idea when your birthday is. Is it in June?
No.
Is it in August?
July.
All right, I was all around it.
You know
August,
what? Though?
August 14th.
We're grown-ups.
Yeah,
and we're grown up men.
We look at it, you know, if we see it on Facebook, then
you're learning how to be an adult. Because
yeah.
I'm a kid. I have kids, and I don't even remember my birthday.
Yeah,
I know it's in July.
Yeah. Anyway,
you. So
I got.
What else you got going on?
I'm getting crazy into Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It was a couple of months ago. I just started people talk about it, and I realized how many people I know are crazy into it, like not, you know, like, oh, I like that, like passionate about it.
I don't understand any of this.
And I was like, all right, well, look, I'll buy the first just Kindle edition, just $9, whatever.
Reading it.
First book.
Yeah.
And now I'm on the fifth book already.
You can't stop.
This is one of like the four Harry Potter shirts I have now. I'm thinking about Harry Potter.
I'm going to be honest with you. I never want to hear that statement from a grown man friend.
I know.
Again.
And yet.
So that you get that one.
But
before I let you go.
It's because of that that for the next 2 weeks, starting today, Row House Cinema is doing one of the biggest Harry Potter festivals.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
They're doing all 8 movies, but there's events every day. They have turned the theater into Hogwarts. They have turned the beer port into Hogsmeade, the little town. Someone is custom making adult alcoholic butter beer for them that's going to be on sale. Trivia, costume stuff. Tomorrow, Saturday, they're doing a 24-hour marathon midnight to midnight.
Wow.
That sold out in a day.
But
they
like,
sold every seat.
How is anybody even doing that?
They sold every seat for people who wanted to sit there for 24 hours. They're bringing them some food. They're taking a little breaks here and there. They're doing 8 in a row. And they said that this is not, you know, there's a couple kids events in there, but it's mostly because of weirdos like me. There are so many grown-ups.
Got that right.
Yeah. So this is all to say, you might have heard of the Sorting Hat, Aaron. You have not. Well, when you go to...
Maybe a little bit.
When you're a first-year student at Hogwarts,
mm-hmm.
and you show up, they put the Sorting Hat, and the Sorting Hat looks into your brain and decides which one of the four houses you belong in. Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, or Hufflepuff.
I can't make eye contact with you.
In
right
real
now.
Life, of course, I'm a Hufflepuff. I'm wearing my Hufflepuff hoodie right now. But Row House wanted to have some sorting ceremonies before a couple of the shows.
Hmm.
And I was chatting with them about that. And they say, well, we need really kind of like a guy with a booming voice to be the Sorting Hat.
Hello.
And I said, hi. And so if you go to the showing of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, either today, Friday the 17th, or next Friday the 24th at Row House Theater, the voice of the Sorting Hat is going to sound a little familiar to you.
I love it.
So that's now
only,
you love it.
That's the only thing I like about this whole story.
Yeah, that I'm the
and that
I'm
it's,
the hat now.
And that it's at Row House.
Yeah, they're...
Well, they do up everything. I mean, we went to the Seven Samurai,
yeah,
and they got us bento boxes. I mean, that was rad.
Mary Beth and I are going to they're doing a like a British pie tasting one night. So we're doing that. Yeah, so much cool stuff. RowhouseCinema.com. Me talking about Harry Potter might have taken up all of our extra budget. So you never got into this at all. You're a little older than I am, even. So you were definitely too old to read the books.
I mean, dude, when did Harry Potter come out?
I think the first one came out. Oh, I think it's 20 years ago. I think it was like 98, 99.
I was just like in high school, a senior, and I wasn't even reading books at that point anymore.
Yeah.
That was my book lull.
No, I didn't do it now. And well, no, you know what happened is I took, you can take the quiz, the sorting quiz on the website, and someone was like, go do it. I want to see what you are. And I did. And then I posted to Facebook about it. And all these people... you know, a lot of people we know well, Liz LaBaz was one of them, Melanie Siegel was one of them, have so much to say about it.
What?
Yeah, it was like a 50-comment thread just talking about
you're
houses.
One of four houses.
Yeah, but it's like a personality thing. I it's been pointed out to me that...
I would love for people to have conversations as long as that, just even about normal things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
like,
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I put much more stock in it than I do in, like, horoscopes. As you know how I feel about horoscopes.
I know how you feel about horoscopes.
Horoscopes, I don't believe at all. Harry Potter houses are, like, gospel to me.
The zombies are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So you, okay, next topic on extra butter.
You're a Slytherin, I think.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Does that just mean I just hate on everything?
No.
I'm miserable.
You're ambitious. You're driven. You could be
I?
A little devious.
Oh, jeez.
Cunning.
Oh, I'm changing the subject.
Mary Beth's a Slytherin, my girl. I'm dating
a
Slytherin.
All right. Then
okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Since we're almost out of extra butter time,
yeah.
I'm gonna change the subject because I can't talk about anything.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You were like, let's talk about this for extra butter, and I was like, whoa, what? What
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
And it was, I did not hear about this movie since I heard that these two guys were doing a movie together. And I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden it's coming out.
That would be Fist Fight.
Yeah. What?
Starring Ice Cube and Charlie Day as teachers. It's the last day of school. It's a bit of a rough high school. And they have a tiff. And Ice Cube declares that they're going to fight after school.
That's so dumb.
Yeah.
And it's also way dumber than, like, I mean, you know, there's the show Principals with Danny McBride. I mean, uh-huh. like, it's very, sounds very similar. But Tracy Morgan's in it, and I like how he is, like, coach/gym teacher. And Christina Hendricks can be my teacher any day of all my life.
She might have had five lines.
Get out.
Completely, like, why did you even
See,
bother
now,
paying
so
her?
I'm looking at this cast. I mean,
The cast
Jillian is Bell
great.
Is hilarious.
Jillian Bell.
Dee Norris is all. Kamau Nanjiani is so damn funny.
The only. See, here's the problem. It's one of those movies where I don't feel like they wrote anything because they were like, well, look, it's just going to be funny with Ice Cube making angry faces at Charlie Day and Charlie Day being all nervous back at him.
You mean like
that? We don't have to write any jokes.
You mean like a hastily written Melissa McCarthy movie?
It was an even more extreme version of that.
Oh, boy.
I thought. You know, the screenwriters here
you
have
see
written
his picture?
Nothing. Yeah,
Van Robichaux.
Van Robichaux.
Robichaux.
Has not written anything before.
Nope.
And he
wrote Seth Rogen, Worst Person in the World, a short, probably for Funny or Die.
He co-wrote with Evan Susser, who has also just written some partner. Shorts.
They look like two UCB guys, I think.
And Richie Keene is a big TV director. He directed a bunch of It's Always Sunny's and Goldberg's and Teachers. And I think this is his first. He directed some New Girls. I think this is his first feature. And it's just, there's just nothing. And it's a one scene movie. It's when are they going to fight? And then the fight is funny. And that's it. It's 70 minutes. They fight for 15. We go home. It's 90 minutes long, barely. And there's just nothing there.
Sean, I would tell you right now, I would take that movie in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would do it.
Absolutely. I pictured you getting angry because there's this big, he's also trying to get to his daughter's talent show because they're going to sing a song from Rent together. And
already, I'm not believable.
He doesn't get there in time. And he's like, well, let's do that other song you wanted. I'll just do the same dance moves. And she does like a Big Sean song that's. Like I ain't fucking with you, bitch. Like to her bully, and it's like one of those things where the whole joke is
the kid is
this
swearing.
9-year-old is swearing,
not funny,
which is the laziest
laziest laugh.
And that's a lot. And most of the laughs are just like Ice Cube. Like Ice Cube was really funny in 21 Jump Street.
And Charlie Day being Charlie Day,
yeah.
Which is
I'm over it.
I'm
like
way over it. I was over at season 3 of Always Sunny.
Horrible Bosses. Horrible Bosses was good. But then it just keeps happening.
That's me channeling my Charlie Day acting skills.
He was funny in the Lego movie doing a voice.
Let me say something. But look. He's funny as a spaceman.
Yeah, but it's... Man, I was...
Where are my pants?
Yeah, that's a different character.
I know, it's funny to me.
You just like saying that?
That's what I thought of immediately.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for you to see Lego Batman.
I might go tomorrow with my kids again.
Yeah.
Because my kids went to the screener and when I wasn't home, so.
Yeah.
Well, fist fight. Okay, cool.
Yeah, nothing to see this week. Although, I missed the screen. I had to be somewhere. I missed the screening of Cure for Wellness, which looks very, very interesting.
Really?
It's like a weird, messed up sci-fi thing by Gore Verbinski.
Yeah, I did hear about it. It's interesting.
It's got kind of an unknown cast. An ambitious young executive.
Jason Isaacs is a pretty good actor.
Is sent to retrieve his company's CEO from an idyllic but mysterious wellness center at a remote location in the Swiss Alps.
Ooh.
And there was a screening. I had to be somewhere else. That's coming out in
some theaters this Friday. Oh, Dane DeHaan is good.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
I really want to see that. But
he was good in Chronicle.
I wouldn't recommend Great Wall or Fist Fight. Wouldn't tell you to go see those.
Well.
Yeah.
Do you want to rate Great Wall?
4. 4 out of 10.
I'm going to do a 5.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about on par for us.
Completely unremarkable. that's why I'm not on posters.
Well.
Because it quotes like completely unremarkable.
Yeah.
So, next week, we'll be back with our Oscar preview. Aaron and I are going to talk about... it's in two parts. I'm going to talk with Aaron, and we're going to do what we think should win. And then Robin Hitchcock is going to be back on the show. We're going to talk about what we think will win. That's next week. The week after that...
I mean, I talked about what I thought would win.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was the should segment, and then the will... Because I'm trying to chop them up.
Gotcha.
I love it. For your Oscar viewing preparations,
yeah,
and then the next week I'll be talking about Logan with Eric Leslie. He'll be back on the show, and after that, I don't know.
All right,
that might take us to Kong. Kong is coming. No, that's a little later
some
in
good
March.
Stuff coming out.
Yeah,
good. Once we hit April,
yeah,
there's some real April through geez,
yeah,
August. There's some heat.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
I'm waiting for that.
You can go check out her.
Belko experiment.
Oh, yeah.
That we talked about. Listen to our 2017 preview episode.
Yeah. We lay out all the movies that are coming out this year and what you can look forward to all the way to almost Christmas.
Right.
Well, yeah. Christmas, pretty much. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Will you go take the Harry Potter quiz so I know if I was right?
Only because I love and respect you.
Okay.
That I might.
All right. We'll
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.